If you have your Bibles with you today, turn with us to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 4. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter number 4. The Holy Spirit would have us to look at the first three verses of Paul's letter here in chapter number 4. Maintaining your walk. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Oh, dear friends, when the Lord laid this message upon our heart, he began to remind me of the circumstances that Paul found himself in. Paul found himself in a very difficult place. For you see, dear friends, the book of Ephesians is the first of the prison epistles. What that is saying is this. Paul was incarcerated when he wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus. And as the Holy Spirit began to speak to our heart, he began to remind us that though Paul may have been in bonds, Paul was walking a walk that was pleasing to God. And I say that to say this, dear friend. You may be going through a difficult time. You may be going through a period in your life where things don't seem to be falling apart. But I believe, dear friends, that you can have a walk that is pleasing to the Lord. I believe, dear friends, if we will put our faith and our trust in him, the Lord will bless us in tremendous ways. You say, Brother Lynn, why is that so important? The importance is this, dear friends. The Lord Jesus Christ has a desire to use you and to use me in the ways that brings him honor and brings him praise and brings him glory. I believe, dear friends, it is God's desire that your witness and your testimony reaches the far corners of the world. You say, Berlin, I'm going through difficulties. I tell you today, dear friend, the Lord who is willing and is able to lift you up, to bring you above the circumstances of hindrance, enabling you to shine a light before a lost, dying, and needful world. You say, Berlin, how can I do that? Put your trust and your faith in God, and the Lord will bless you to maintain your walk for him. I believe that just as sure as we're standing here at Pine Hill Baptist Church today. Well, you see here, Paul, this great minister of faith, he was beseeching the church of the Ephesians. That word beseeching means beg. What Paul was doing, he was begging them to do what it is that God would have them to do, because Paul knew, as we know, that it is the Lord's desire that our witness or testimony goes out into the highways and the byways of the world. If the world around us don't see Jesus in you, then where are they going to see it? I tell you today, dear friend, it is high time that we walk in accordance to the will of God and allow our light to shine brightly in the world today. To sow the seeds of hope in this old cruel, corrupt world before it's eternally too late. You see, dear friends, Paul was begging the church of the Ephesians to walk a walk and to talk a talk that was pleasing to the Lord. And I believe, dear friends, that the same message that Paul was proclaiming is the same message that needs to be heralded today, to walk a walk that is worthy of the call that the Lord Jesus Christ has placed on your heart. When you see dear friends, though Paul may be incarcerated, though he may have been in prison, the Lord had gave him liberty, and the Lord had gave him all that he needed to have a witness in the world that's around him. I say that to say this: wherever you go and whatever you do, let Jesus Christ walk through you. And I believe, dear friends, that the impact will be great in the world that's around us. You say, Brother Lynn, is it important? Yes, it's important. It's a matter of life and death. Paul knew, as we know, that it was God's desire for his children to shine and to go out in the world and to fulfill the Great Commission. Well, I want you to understand something today, dear friend. When Paul spoke to this church and he said to be worthy of that vocation, what he was saying is this: that you are called to service. You are put in the ranks of following the Lord Jesus Christ in the world today. And I believe, dear friends, that it is time that you and I, as blood-bought believers, exercise the authority that God has given to us and to use every ounce of energy that we have to share the good news of the gospel with the lost, dying, and needful world. The circumstances that Paul was in, being incarcerated, never prevented his spiritual walk for Jesus Christ. So let us not befall our old self. Let us not succumb to the wiles of the devil, but let us rise above the pitfalls of life to walk proudly and boldly for the cause of Christ. You see, dear friends, you don't do it because you always feel like it. There's no doubt in my mind that Paul felt bad from time to time. There's no doubt in our mind that the hardships abound. But God gave Paul, as he gives us, what we need to rise above the pitfalls and the circumstances and the hindrances of this world. To maintain our walk. To maintain our walk. Notice here how that the Apostle Paul penned what's needed that we can maintain the walk that the Lord has for us. He is saying lowliness. What's that mean? Has to mean laying pride to the side. He's saying with meekness. He's saying to be gentle, to be kind, to be compassionate. He's saying long suffering. What's he saying? He's saying this: don't have a short fuse, but to be mindful and patient with those around you. And they would say forbearing. What's that mean? That means to forgive. We're to forgive, to have a sweet spirit, not to be prideful, but to be obedient to the will and the law of God, and to come together in love and in harmony to show the world that's around us at Jesus Christ, who is and forever will be the way, the truth, and the life, can be used in our lives and used in their lives for the glory of God. You ain't going to touch this world. You're not going to impact this world in a prideful fashion. If we always went around with a chip on our shoulder and faces this long, it's doubtful that we would reach anybody for the glory of God. If there was anybody that had an opportunity or an excuse to be angry, it would be Paul. He was incarcerated for serving the Lord. He was persecuted for declaring the love of Jesus Christ. He was put down because of his faith. He was hindered because he had a desire. The Lord Jesus Christ has gave us liberty today to proclaim His glorious name in the world that's around us. And I thought about that long and hard when we were looking at this passage of Scripture. And we thought about what James says in James chapter 1 and verse 22 when the man of God says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." I believe, dear friends, we have a whole lot of head service, but have very little heart service. I believe, dear friends, we're to put legs on these prayers and go out in the highways and the byways of the world, walking a walk that's worthy of the call that Jesus Christ has placed upon our lives. You say, "Brother Lynn, why is that so important?" It's because people today all around us are dying and going to hell. Listen, we live in a real world. Despite what the news media may say, despite what you may read, we live in a real world. You depart this life without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll open your eyes in the devil's hell. Ain't no ifs, ands, ain't no buts about it. No matter how good you are, or how much money or position you may have, you depart this life without Jesus, and you're destined for a devil's hell. I thought about that when I was looking at the Word of God. And here old Paul, who was maintaining his walk by following the example of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of this passage of Scripture that is one of our favorites. It comes to us out of the Gospel of Mark. In Mark chapter 10, in verse number 45, the Bible says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." I tell you, friend, it ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said He didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister and to give life to one and all through faith. So, the Lord would have us to maintain our walk. The Lord would have us to take care of our walk with gentleness, with no pride, with a care and compassion about us that reaches the world that we walk in. I thought about these things so much these days of late, where Paul said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What's he saying? That little word, endeavoring, means to try, to do the best you can each and every day of your life. But there's so many in our world today are warming the pews in churches all over the land who is living like a saint on Sunday and living like hell on Monday. It's God's will that we be instant in season and out a season and walk a walk as pleasing to God Monday through Sunday, allowing the Lord to enrich our lives so that we can enrich the lives of others. That's God's desire for us, to maintain our walk, for us to take care in what God has so wonderfully provided. When I looked here at the Scriptures, I thought about this. I thought about what Paul would say to the church of the Colossians. There, as he was addressing the Colossian church, he tells us in chapter 2, in verse 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." What Paul is saying is that if the blood has been applied to your life and you have blessed assurance, you should have a desire in your heart to share the good news with those that come about you. To have that opportunity to declare the good news. You remember what we said? What good would a plumber be if he didn't plumb? What kind of truck driver would he be who didn't drive? Well, what kind of Christian are we if we don't do the Christ-like things that the Lord hath commanded? And what God has commanded of you and commanded of me is to walk in accordance to His will. And each and every day we're to maintain our walk for the glory of God. To maintain? Yes, to maintain. I work in the automotive business, and car maintenance is key. It's essential. You must maintain. You don't maintain, it goes down. What happens with brothers and sisters in Christ who don't pray or read God's word or follow the will of an almighty God? I tell you what happens to them. They slip and they slumber and they fall victim to the wiles and the desires of Satan. But it is God's desire that we rise above. You say, Brother Lynn, how do we rise above? Just apply verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 4. And God will lift you up. He will enable you to thrive in the world that's around you. If you've ever studied Ephesians chapter 4, you will see here that Paul would talk about the gifts that was given to the blood-bought believers. But I think about Paul and his desire to minister and to share. And I think about what that he said in verse 27 of Ephesians chapter 4. He said, neither give place to the devil. What he's saying to the church at Ephesus is what the Lord is saying to the church today. You give old Satan an inch, he'll take a mile. He will rob you. He will seek to bring pain and discomfort to your life every chance that he gets. That's why, dear friends, it is imperative, it's important that we maintain our walk and we keep our focus and that we declare Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives. There's a preacher friend of mine who loves UT sports better than any one man I've ever seen in my life. He loves it. He loves it. We minister together, and I wear suits all the time, and he'll be all decked out in orange sometimes, which is good. And I thought about that when we were preparing this, and the Holy Spirit was giving us these scriptures and leading us to different. I thought about him. Because of his love for football and UT sport, it has never diminished his love for God. And though his orange may be bright and bold, his walk for the Lord is mighty and strong. I'm saying that to say this. It's all right to embrace the things that God has blessed you to have, but put Jesus Christ, His will, and your walk above all the things of the world. He'll bless you. You see, dear friends, how so many fail and come short. It's because they like this. They're focused on that. They desire this. They're pertaining in this. And the Lord is way down here. I tell you, friends, as old Paul here was in prison, Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, was first and foremost in his life. And when he's first and foremost in your life, you won't give place to the devil. Well, the Bible says if we draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us. The word also tells us if you believe in one God, thou doest well. For the devils also believe, and you know what they do? They tremble. Why do they tremble? Because they know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords rises above everything that we face in this life. Can you walk it? Sure you can walk it. How do you walk it? Having faith and trust in Him. To maintain that walk takes a vigilant prayer life. It takes a life that is committed. I once heard an old deacon from up in Granger County tell me one time, and many people says, well, I just need to get committed. He told me something that stuck with me years ago. When Jesus Christ became Lord of my life, when Jesus Christ became Lord of your life, you were committed. You were committed. And I thought about old Paul, how this man who loved Jesus, this man who was willing to do what was needed in the churches at Asia Minor, was willing to proclaim a message to the Ephesian believers that they were to maintain their walk and to be worthy of their call and be willing to do the things that God would have them to do so that they could reach the world that's around. You have somebody in your life. You have somebody in your life that you know that if they were to die, in hell they'd lift their eyes. You have somebody in your family or a dear friend who's out of fellowship with God, and though they may have cars, they may have homes, they may have much in way of money and great and glorious worldly things, but because they don't have a fellowship with the Lord, they are men most miserable. What are we to do? This Bible right here is 106 years old. It is. It's 106. Brother Bob, I hope when we're 106 we look this good. One of my pride and joys is this. Love this Bible. I got two or three of the 1917s. Wouldn't take anything for them. Precious to me. But you know something? As precious as they are, they pale in comparison to the precious Lord that I serve. I thought about how that the Lord Jesus Christ desires for you and I to maintain our walk and to have our focus upon Him, because you see, dear friends, there are so many needs in our families. And you say, well, Brother Lynn, I just can't reach them. Well, listen, we can reach them together. That's why that Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He was saying to the Ephesian church this: endeavoring, try to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. What's he saying? He's saying this: we're greater together than we are apart. It ain't, dear friend, and I just need Miss Sandy, or I need Joey, or Bob, or Paula, but we all need to be in the cause of Christ. All of us. Not all of us, but all of us. All of us. Now, Paul didn't always preach to the big crowds. I believe old Paul was kind of like me, probably preached to more pews than he did anything. Paul might have been kind of like myself some of the time. A lot of times, Paul may have preached a funeral and a lot of the people would just walk out. Paul might have been persecuted and heckled from time to time. But his love of the Lord compelled him to go. And he had to maintain his walk. He had to be focused on God's will being done. Why? Because the Ephesians, like us, have people in our families that are lost and undone, backslidden,
in terrible ways. If they don't see Jesus in you, then I'm sad to say they may not ever see it at all. This 106-year-old Bible that means so much to me, I'd like to beat some of them over the head with it. But I can't. I got to love them, Ashwin, even when they're unlovable. I got to maintain that walk. Well, I've had people to run up in my face and say everything in the world. It's been all I could do to restrain this little thin, frail, puny body of mine. But I've had to. Why? Because you see, dear friends, we've been in the ministry many, many years. All these years it takes to maintain this witness, this testimony, but you work for that testimony and that witness. And it may take you a lifetime to build that witness and that testimony. And did you know you can destroy it in 5 seconds? Paul could have destroyed his witness there in that prison. But no. He desired to maintain that walk. And that made the difference. Persistent to maintain that walk made the difference. Let me tell you something before we close. I'm reminded of a man who had a little boy. Little boy's 5, 6 years old. And come in from work, he'd worked hard all day. All day he'd worked hard. His wife had a business meeting that night, and she said, "Honey, you're going to have to take care of little Johnny here because I'm going to be late coming home, so you make sure that he eats and that he gets in bed on time, okay?" And he said, "Oh, I got it. He made sure Johnny ate. He said, "Boy, it's about time for bed." So he took him upstairs, and he tucked him in. The man had had this long, hard day on the job, and he finally sat down in the recliner, and he said, "Whew." About 2 minutes went by, a little boy said, Daddy, I want a drink of water." His dad got up, and he went upstairs, and he got him a drink of water, retucked him in, and he came back down. Seeing that recliner sitting there, and he said, "Oh, boy." He fell right into it. 2 minutes later, Johnny said, Daddy, I want a drink of water." So he got up, walked back upstairs, and got him a drink of water. Boy, that recliner was looking better and better every time he seen it. Flopped down in it again. 2 minutes went by. Little boy said, Daddy, I need to go to the bathroom." So he got up and he went up there and he took him to the bathroom, tucked him back in, went back downstairs, flopped in recliner. A minute later he said, Daddy, I want a drink of water." The man got up and he said, "Johnny, listen, I'm tired. If you holler for another drink of water, next time I come up here, I'm going to whoop you." He didn't say whip, he said whoop. He said, "I'm going to whoop you." So he walked back down. He fell down in that recliner. 2 minutes went by. And he heard that little voice. Said, Daddy. His daddy said, "Johnny, what do you want?" He said, "Well, Daddy, when you come up here to bring me a drink of water, just go ahead and give me a whipping too." Johnny was persistent. Johnny was willing. Johnny was willing to take a whip and to get what he felt that he needed. Oh, dear friends, how many of us are willing to go through the difficulties of life to get what we need? All of us should be willing. All of should have a desire in our heart to be willing to go the extra mile For our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who went all the way for us, paid the price that we couldn't pay, so that we would have an opportunity to maintain our walk in the world that's around us. Dear friends, Paul loved the Ephesian church. God loved the Ephesian church. God loves this church. You say the building? No. The church. Us. We're the church. We're the walk. We're the talk of the Lord God Almighty in the world today. I don't know about you, but I want the best presentation I possibly can have in that world out there. Because as we said, you may be the only Bible that this whole world out here will ever see. So let's be maintained. Let's be sustained. And let us live a life that is willing to give God the glory. Let's stand here.